I'm Jared Lister.
Choosing the right home loan specialist is just as important as choosing the right home to buy. Jared chose Stacy Borjo.
My wife and I were looking for the perfect home. You can't have a pre-approval for a year and a half. It doesn't work that way. But our search took a year and a half, and we found the perfect home. There were other interested parties that we could potentially lose the house to, so I needed to act fast. Called Stacy, and within an hour, we were at her office getting a pre-approval letter, made the offer, and closed a month later. It was a very, very smooth transaction, and we couldn't be more happy.
Buying a home? Call Stacy Borjo.
Definitely a great choice. She's professional. She's always available, comforting when you're stressed out and wondering if you're doing the right thing, nervous about the entire process. She's very reassuring.
And Jared's favorite part about working with Stacy?
Just a hell of a good interest rate.
Hi, I'm Stacy Borjo. I'll be here with you from start to finish, and I'll work as hard as I can to make sure you're taking advantage of everything that's available to you. Before you buy a home, call me. It's free, there's no risk, and no obligation.
Call Stacy at 303-1542. That's 303-1542.
Welcome to In the Neighborhood on 1470 WMBD with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borjo. Tim is a realtor with Traders Realty, and Stacy is a mortgage lender at First State Bank of Illinois. And together, they have their finger on the heartbeats of the heartland. Each week at this time, they sit down with the people who move the Peoria area, people in your community that lead organizations, business, and government. These are the people in your neighborhood. You'll learn who they are, what they're involved in, and why. It's In the Neighborhood with Tim Johnson and Stacy Borjo.
Hi, Stacy.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
It's the last weekend of November.
Wow, that time already.
And Christmas is just around the corner.
Oh, here comes Santa Claus.
I can't wait to do some bell ringing coming up next week. That'll be pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Salvation Army, I'm taking it.
Of course. Have you ever done that?
No, I have not. I need to do that this year.
You might have to come join me then.
I will. We have Tim Delinsky today. He's with Peoria Public Schools.
Yep, and he's going to tell us all about how we can get those kids educated and lined up for awesome careers in their future.
Yeah, after talking with Carl Cannon a couple weeks ago and Tim this week, I think District 150 is on great track.
That's a good thing to hear.
Here we go. Welcome, Tim, to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an instructional improvement officer for District 150 in Peoria Public Schools. I oversee 9 different programs, school buildings, and all those aspects of all those programs, as well as all the pilot programs that we're initiating. My pilot program this year is Woodruff Career and Technical School. And basically, we are just trying to give and raise the level of expectation for our kids and give our kids the best opportunity to learn.
Did you grow up in this area?
I'm a service rat by trade, came to Peoria about 1971, graduated from Peoria High School, so we're good. Yeah, I've been basically a Peorian for 34, 35 years now, so we're good.
I got to meet you over at Hines School when we were doing a Rotary project over there, and it was a pretty amazing turnout that the teachers and the kids and Rotarians had, so... do you guys get to have a lot of projects like that going on for District 150?
Well, we try to initiate, as you know, with the state deficits as they are and the payment plan that the state has the school budgets on. We're not as proactive as we'd like to be. Like the Rotarians coming in and helping Hines, awesome. I mean, those are projects, little projects that our kids need that we realistically can't target our money for at this time. Right now, our basic focus is on achievement, raising expectations of kids, curriculum, program changes. That's where all our focus and all our money is right now in those resources. So maintaining our buildings and things is something that we do on a very minimal level, but it's something we need more help with at all times. So outside groups like that, Rotarians come in and help in Hines. I came by at the perfect time, by the way. She didn't tell you that. I came by when they were wrapping things up, so I didn't get the shovel in my hand. But, no, overall, we try to involve our parents at every level of what we do in our community groups and every level of what we do. Right now we have programs going on from third grade reading buddies to anything that's outreach for parents. 14th is National Endowment Week for Parents, so we have a lot of additional activities for parents to come into our schools during that week.
That's awesome.
So do you have a lot of different volunteers other than parents that come?
We have a tremendous amount of volunteers. A lot of our people don't take a lot of credit for what they do, or they don't get the publicity that they do. But we have a lot of extraordinary people, from the Kiwanis to Rotary Clubs to Knights of Columbus, all those organizations, plus church groups that mm-hmm. surround our schools and embrace the community, which is what we're trying to get back into our schools.
So if somebody's interested in getting involved as a volunteer, what's the best way to?
Best way to do that, first contact, if you have a, if you're connected to one building, or your child's connected to one building, or your organization wants to sponsor a building, start with your building level principal.
Okay.
And they can direct you through what options you have available to you and see if it's feasible for us to start working together.
Okay. What is an instructional improvement officer?
Instruction Improvement Officer is someone that oversees all the educational programs of the nine buildings that I oversee, which means starting from the leadership, making sure that all practices are implemented, making sure the parts of the strategic plan are implemented correctly, and making sure that we are doing the right thing for our kids. Everything from classroom visits to visiting with our universal leadership teams in each building and community events. So we try to take the gamut as far as all aspects of each of our schools.
So in regards to opportunities for our kids, because the children are our future, as the song says, what are we doing differently to kind of help our kids be prepared for the future and for growing?
I think basically what we start with is data-based instruction versus just here's your book, you open it, you read it. We very much have a system in place now where we identify and assess kids early, starting at pre-K level. We identify them, target their needs either through an IEP or a PE, personal education plan, and there are interventionists at every level to help kids target their individual needs and their individual systems that they have and that they need in order to be successful in school, and then create a broad range of everything from the technology that they're going to have to embrace as they grow older, the community, and give them their options as to what they can do and what they can be, because there are no limits for our kids. Our kids can do some great things if we let them.
Yeah, and we all have different skill sets, too. So is that what those tests kind of look at, is what maybe one child is will be able to excel at versus something else?
I think we very much have systems in place and are starting to set the foundation for be able to let kids know what directions are good for them based on their skill sets and their characteristics, their personalities. We start, obviously, on the foundational level, K-4. Basically, those programs are designed to make sure that they have strong reading backgrounds, are able to analyze, are able to critically think situations and questions, and basically be able to develop those skills and techniques that everyone needs across the board. As they grow up through fifth and they get older, we have opportunities through assessments and through other types of class experiences that they can have to develop into electricians, engineering, go in the medical field. We have a program that we initiated this year called Growing Up Ready for our 6th through 8th graders, which is basically a hands-on computerized technology kind of model, and basically our kids get exposure to the different types of career, everything from radio and TV to medical fields, to plumbing, to the trades, and basically we follow that up with what we call an explore test, which an explore test basically just measures aptitude based on your characteristics and your abilities and your likes and your dislikes. So we administer that test in eighth grade, have these children experience the Growing Up Ready labs and the different fields and everything else, and see if there's a match. That way, when they get ready to go to high school in ninth grade, we have a direction we can set for them, and though we can help them and provide those other opportunities. All the way up into Woodruff Career and Technical Center, mm-hmm. which is a program I oversee and is my baby, and basically it involves everything from engineering to electricians to plumbers to the trades to computer technology to health and occupations. We can cover the gamut with Woodruff and Career Technical. We give our kids the real-life options and give them some hands-on experience, and hopefully by the end of they graduate in high school, they have a real skill set that they could step into another career with and at least start.
Wow. So this technical center, how long has it been around?
This is the first year for the Woodruff Career and Technical Center. We spent a lot of over $500,000 invested in the building, reopening Woodruff. We have all brand new equipment, all brand new technology for our kids. It serves three purposes, actually. Woodruff serves three purposes. It's basically a safe school environment for some of our older children who are not doing very well in their schools and have been expelled from from Brayer Schools. We have an alternative school, which is a totally separate and isolated school that takes on children and gives them opportunities. Children who aren't successful in large classroom sizes, for example, kids that are not necessarily tough kids, but they just need a different type of learning environment that they can have the opportunity to be successful in. And then that those children are allowed to participate in our career and technical center, as well as our other satellite kids. This year, first year out of the chute, we are doing Peoria High only. So basically we have cosmetology section, a trade section, an engineering section, electricals and engineering, and a drafting section. So basically we have all those opportunities for our kids to be satellited into Woodruff, get hands-on experience with the real life situations, and then be able to take those skills out in the world.
Wow. So how did the kids qualify to be a part of the school? So you said Peoria?
Peoria High is what we started with. We started small since this was our first year and just did Peoria High School. Kids were eligible for this program.
Okay.
So basically we have a recruitment process.
Okay.
Which kids who have a certain skill set are allowed to apply. And then we have basically obviously limited seating available for our kids. So basically first we have to take your referrals, we look at them, we judge which kids come into the program. Next year, we're expanding to all three high schools. So all three high school programs will be allowed to come in and apply and go to Woodruff. The main reason for starting Woodruff Career and Technical Center, this is where I get on my pulpit a little bit, is our kids are great kids, but not everybody that goes to school is going to college. Not everybody's going to be successful in that route. And working with the trades and the unions that we have so many of in Peoria, and they're a great support mechanism, every year they have open spots in their apprenticeship programs from everything from electricians to pipe working to you name it. And our kids do not have the skill set to walk into those and be successful in those unless we give them that opportunity. So our kids could realistically, either in health occupations, cosmetology, electricians, trades of various kinds, from plumbing to drywalling to cement work, are going to have experiences in all of those. And so our children are at least going to have a base understanding of what it takes to do those and perform those jobs. Hopefully we're going to work with the trades and pull the trades and community into our school so they get to know our kids, show them real-life situations so that when they walk out the door, there's an apprenticeship that they could walk into and make real money and real careers. And for those people that are not very good at those things, such as plumbing, electrical, those kinds of things, that's a skill set we're always going to need. And if we don't have those people around, we're going to be in trouble. And right now our population's low, and we're not getting the people we need in those fields to get our job done. So
how long will this program, how many, will this be multiple years for the student?
This was year one. So our people that are in our Engineering 1 class right now will be in Engineering 2 next year. Our focal design, so every year they can build upon these classes that we have on the curriculum. It's our goal to basically start with sophomores.
Okay.
At entry-level position, and build that program up every year so we have a nice flow and program that these kids can come back to every year if they like it. Our vision, my vision, I should say, that I will commit to, is we will take a kid from grassroots idea to drafting it to testing it in the lab to actually building it.
Wow.
And it's our goal that we, at some point in program before I retire, I have 4 years till I retire, so 4-year target, that we're going to be able to build our houses on our property and give our kids some real life experiences with that and have our own little community teach them all the ins and outs of what it takes to do those types of jobs.
Wow.
So they could start like as an electrician or a plumber, or will they be able to start at multiple
different
things?
They will get exposure
things
to all the different areas.
Okay.
In the general trades class up front. Then they can, as they progress their junior, sophomore year, they can be more skill specific.
Okay.
So they can start out, and they'll get everything from plumbing to drywalling to concrete masonry work. And then if they find an area that they have an aptitude in, mm-hmm. then their junior year would be more intensified, individualized study within that particular area. So we can branch out and keep expanding.
I'm sure that once they get in and they're using their hands on all of this, they're probably inspired to even go a little bit further with an education at college. Is that the case?
Well, I think it gives them the opportunity to do so. I think what our kids lack sometimes is that if they feel they can't go to college, they don't have any options. And there are ways to work yourselves into those options because all of us can't afford to get the scholarships and the money that it takes to go to college. So there's nothing wrong with coming out and going into an apprenticeship,
right,
developing a strong skill set, for we have some strong trades, some great people working in them, and give yourself an opportunity to walk right into a business. And if they want to expand and go into electrical engineering, ISAG, or those kinds of areas, they can at that point when they have the background to say, we're going to go ahead and do that. I can do that. But we need to give them the opportunity. We put a ceiling on our students, and the majority of our students do a great job. Unfortunately, the only ones we read about are the ones that are struggling. And so we need to start talking more about what we do have in our program with our kids, because they're going to bring a lot of resources to Peoria in the future.
Do the schools right now, besides the Woodruff Career Center, have those types of classes in regards to welding? And
we have, and I'll be happy to give you a tour anytime you want to. We have a full laid out construction lab, and we have a full construction metals lab, which includes all the different types of welding, which includes all the different types of manufacturing metals, from lathes to, and we use the most current and up-to-date machines we have. We basically have machines that we can operate with a computer, so they can help designate, just like we would if we were working at Caterpillar and we were putting a design down at Caterpillar for an engineer. So we have those opportunities for kids. We've invested a lot of superintendent is very strong in this area, and she has given it her full weight and support. So it's going to be a great thing.
So you're saying that the Career Center has these items. Do the other high schools have them right now or no?
There are a couple components that some high schools do have.
Okay.
Manual has some pieces of the metal shop. There are different programs with the electricity and within the district. But we're going to consolidate all those and make them into one strong program as we move forward and give our kids the full range of opportunities that they wouldn't get if they stayed at their high schools.
That's really neat. I know growing up I went to Peoria Notre Dame, and I don't feel like we had any of those opportunities at all to be able to take any of those classes. I think we may have had it like a cooking or sewing class, but other than that, I don't feel like we had those opportunities or choices.
Well, I think we have to let our students know that they're available to them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the goals that we have for next year is to have an all-female engineering class, to be able to break some of those stereotypes and give kids opportunities that way. And also let them know that we have our health occupations class, mm-hmm, which is open to careers, as you will eventually be able to graduate with a high school diploma and a CNA's license.
Wow.
If you go take the state test. And then you'll have an opportunity to work right away and give you a better background to go to ICC or somewhere else and become an RN and give you those opportunities, or to go into ophthalmology or to go into radiation therapy. And all those options are available to us through the modules, and we can introduce them all and get them actual hands-on models and be happy to give you a tour anytime you'd like.
So does Caterpillar get involved with the classes, or, you know, other companies like that?
We have our trades and our unions that are very much interested in this. As we get off the ground, we're in conversations with them all the time in regards to what pieces they can fill for us. Mm-hmm. What we'd like to do is this first year as a pilot is basically getting our ground curriculum set up, making sure that we're hitting the pieces the way we need to, and then we'll hopefully bring the tradespeople in for those second, third level classes to teach the actual hands-on, this is how we do it in the real world. So this is what it's going to be like. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Pretty amazing. I mean, especially with the nursing and healthcare too. I mean, we've got three big hospitals here, so I'm sure the need for that is huge also. And to be able to come right out of high school and be able to do that,
at least have the opportunity
huge.
To. I mean, we have with some of the things we have. Literally got arms and legs laying in our labs that our children experiment putting in IVs with, how they can control. They do all those hands-on things. And literally we have a hospital room set up. We hope to create some ties with some of our hospitals, maybe create an actual on-site clinic there just to give those people some on-site experience with a real nurse and what a real nurse does in those kinds of clinics and those types of things. So it has it has nothing but an upside as we move forward. It's going to be a great thing. It really is.
So how long has this been in the works to create?
Dr. Lathan came on board a little over a year ago, and we've been working on it ever since. So we've been working hard and putting in some long days creating the curriculum and making things work, but it's only been a little over a year since we put this together.
So do you have some other schools that you're modeling after or where this idea came from?
Basically, the career and technical aspect, what we used to call vocational when I was in high school, has always been there. And we used to have those programs in District 1 50 years ago, and then because of costs and the overriding nature of the beast, they were taken out of the mix. And what's created is just created a big hole. So, yes, we use a company called Paxton. We have been at several different sites and technical centers to see how people utilize those. We work with Perfect, which helps create jobs and internships for our kids and cooperative work study type of environment. So we've been out and we've done a lot of work in a very small amount of time and put together a curriculum that we think fits our kids and gives our kids the best opportunity to be great.
Boy, between talking to you and Carl Cannon, District 150 in just the last year has made huge strides.
I think everyone knows, and I think we have to be honest with ourselves. We have some areas that we really need to get better in, but we're getting better in them. We're not sitting back waiting for someone to tell us how to do it. We have a plan in place. You can go online and see the superintendent's strategic plan by PSD150.org, and you can look up under the section about us and pull up our strategic plan with all our objectives and all the options that we have. I have a little book with my little binder in it, and all my little tags are the areas that I'm responsible for. And right now we're up to about 25, 26 areas over the next 4 years. But we have a plan. I don't think we've had a concrete step-by-step sequential plan before. It's been a long time since I've seen this in 150. And we're going to hold to it. If you saw the article in the Journal Star, a superintendent headline, she's tough. She knows what she's doing. She's smart. She's one of the brightest young educators I've seen in a long time. And she's decided to put her niche in Peoria, and I think we're going to do some very good things.
That's great. So what are some other things that you guys are going to be doing?
Well, we have everything in place right now. Some of the things that we're piloting this year are IB programs, International Baccalaureate programs. Basically, some of the things that we have lacked in this district is the ability to really challenge our students academically. We need to take care of the full spectrum of our students, all those from our higher-level functioning and our gifted kids all the way to our group of kids that struggle with just basic things. And we are offering opportunities across for everyone. One of the things that reaches everyone is Compass Learning. Compass Learning is an instructional program that lends itself from second grade all the way up to 12th grade. And it has some applications for kindergarten if you work through that piece. But basically it's based on the NWA, which is Northwest Education Association Testing Program, and all our children take the NWA. It's a computerized program. It gears them, and then it sets them into where they should be working within the scope. And that is available to our parents 24 hours a day. It's available for those people that don't have the technology. We have open labs in some of our schools after school. We also have it available through the Peoria Public Library. So we're trying to reach out. Programs like that have never been done before are available to our kids. And with our kids' natural niche towards technology, it's a perfect fit. No one has an excuse not to give it an opportunity if they really believe that their child can be successful in it. And I think that's what we have to say, we, because it's not just the teachers. It's not just the parents by themselves. We've operated independently for a long time. If we don't pull together, one's not going to work without the other. And we need to have everybody on board with the community to make Peoria Public Schools a better place and provide terrific opportunities for our kids to be really successful. And we can do that. We are going to do that.
Awesome. So Compass, then, a child can go online or at school or at the library and take, isn't like reading and education, or is it just testing?
Basically, it's a variety of different programs across the board.
Okay.
Everything from reading nonfiction and reading details to just basically you can go into the math set and do the math component within that. But basically it just offers them a lot of opportunities to go in, and it's just not your basic open it up, here's a page of problems, do your problems, do this. It will work you through there. It will give you tutoring online. It will give you all those opportunities that our kids don't get, and they can do that at home. Another component for that is every child in the district has a password. Every family member has a password within the school. So it's not just an opportunity for our kids. It's an opportunity for our kids' parents It's in the parent university component of what we have within our schools. Is to some of our parents are struggling. They don't have jobs. Doesn't matter. We have people with four-year degrees that can't find a job. And we need to have other resources available to them to learn. And we need to provide opportunities to all our families, and that's working together, going to the same, and it's pretty cool to sit down with your kid and go through Compass and something that you may not know how to do, but your kid might know how to do better than you, and be able to sit down and walk to, hey, this is, I can do this, and I can do this. And we might be surprised at the outcomes for some of our parents as well. And creating that component of school, parent, and community is the only way it's going to work in Peoria. It's the only way it's going to work anywhere. And with everybody struggling like we are, if we don't provide resources for everyone, we're just hurting all of us.
That's true. So that would be neat to maybe sit down with your child and go in through some different courses, and opportunities are endless, like you said.
There's just so many things that they can do. With the technology base that we have available to us, right now in the high schools, we're piloting Algebra 1-2 classes with iPads.
Wow.
And, you know, we're doing that. And basically, the opportunities for our kids to learn, because basically our kids need to be engaged in technology. Mm-hmm. The future is going to be nothing but that. And if we don't start utilizing that system within the school system and use it as a common instrument across the board, not just to play and listen to music, not just to, you know, to download YouTube, but, hey, this is something I can use in my career. And I can use this to find jobs. I can use this as a resource when I don't know something I may need to know. And it's just limitless. It really is. We just have to teach people how to use it appropriately and make sure that we're following up and giving them support they need.
Yeah. So do you have classes that you do to educate the kids and the parents about Compass?
Yep. Well, we have parent university classes, and you go online to psd150.org. We have our parent university sites that we are listing. And what it is we provide classes once a month at night for our parents, and basically they're free of charge, and they're open, and we rotate the sites through each region. So if you have trouble getting there or you have trouble with that, you still have an opportunity to go. But everything from parenting to how to utilize Compass to how to read your child's assessment, to how to work with your teacher, work with your school, to what you can do to help. And also the strategies that we use in the classrooms so parents understand when they come home what we're trying to do at the schools, so they can have a hands-on and say, oh, this is why the schools are doing it this way. And this is why I think. And so if we all do it together to reinforce behavior, because I don't know about you, but unless you stay into Algebra 1-2 and you don't use it every day, try taking an Algebra 1-2 problem with that 6th, 7th, or 8th grader you have and see if that'll work for you without sitting down and reorientating yourself. But Algebra 1-2 is the key. Well, you know, all our research based on basically three things. Kid needs to have good attendance and be in school. They can't learn if they're not there. They need to have a good basic understanding and knowledge of Algebra 1 and 2. And a good basic reading level. And the third thing is they need to be drug-free. We can control two out of three of those with a little help. Parents can control all three. And in order to be successful, those are the only three components you need. It's just a matter of what field you choose, how you want to go at it, and what your attitude is. If you want an opportunity, it's there. There's no more excuses why you can't step up. And we're asking everybody to step up.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've taken a lot of time in developing the big picture in all of this.
I think you have to see the direction, but I think sometimes, ultimately, all educators say, we want all our kids to read, we want all our kids to do well. But we need to have SMART goals in order to make sure, here's our final outcome. And we have the steps in between broken down on each level each year as we move forward to be able to show how we're going to get there. And it's our job, accountability-wise, to make sure those things get done. So, by the way, a SMART goal is basically a goal that is specific, measurable, attainable, reliable, and timely. So, basically, all those things come into play, and there are processes and steps for all those, and we apply them to each one to this wonderful book that you people can't see that I'm holding in my hand.
Great. We're here with Tim Dolinsky of Peoria Public Schools. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. I'll talk about education any day of the week. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's In the Neighborhood with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borjo. You can find out more about the show and listen to previous shows at PeoriaArea.com. Discover who's appearing on future shows and leave questions for future guests at PeoriaArea.com. Join us next week to find out what's happening around the Peoria area as Tim and Stacy talk to those who are making it happen in the neighborhood.